Well, this year we've been looking at topics in the book of Proverbs and using Proverbs as a stepping stone too to other scriptures. And today I want to talk to you about a very important subject in the scriptures, and that's the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? What does it mean? This phrase is used 30 times in the Bible. 29 in the Old Testament and 1 in the New Testament. In Hebrew, there are two words for the word fear when we're thinking about the fear of the Lord. One is pakad, and it's used 49 times. It's translated fear 40 times, and it means terror, dread, object of dread. And so this is the word, as I said, it's used 49 times in the Old Testament. The other Hebrew word is yirah. It's used 45 times. It's translated fear 41 times. And it means the fear of God, respect, reverence, and piety, and also revered. It also can mean terror and fear, but in the context of association with the Lord, it means reverence or respect for God. And the word Lord, as used in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word Jehovah, and which is used over 6,500 times in the Bible, in case you're interested in knowing that. Now, I have a really good set of reference books called the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. And I had it's two books about that thick. And in my study in my online Bible, it references this theological workbook of the Old Testament, and it sends you to certain pages where you can look up these words in Hebrew. Believe me, I don't read Hebrew, but I can read numbers. So I take the number, the Strong's number, and look it up. Well, from the theological workbook of the Old Testament, when God is the object of fear, the emphasis is upon awe or reverence. This attitude of reverence is the basis of real wisdom, as we'll see in Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. Indeed, the phrase itself sets the theme for the book of Proverbs, as we'll see. Turn first place to 1 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to see where it's used first in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 11. So, in Proverbs, we found the fear of the Lord used 14 times, and it speaks of this fear of the Lord that we're talking about, the reverence of God. Numerous passages relate this fear of God to piety and righteous living. Now, let's look at the scriptures to see what the word teaches us about the fear of God. Now, the first time it's mentioned is an unusual context. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 11. We won't read the whole section there, but what happens is, well, let's look at verse 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon Israel. What a horrible fate, as he threatened them. So news comes to Saul, who's just recently been appointed as the king of Israel. And verse 5, and behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told them the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen, and hewed them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. Now look at the next phrase. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And it talks about how many people came. Look at verse 8. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000. And the men of Judah, 30,000. So an army of 330,000 arose and went to fight with Saul to deliver the men of Jabesh-Gilead. But it tells us there is that the fear of the Lord fell upon the people. Do you remember in first, I'll tell you what, let's turn over there. Hold your place there in 1 Samuel and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, just a couple of short exhortations. Verse 17. Get there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Notice what he says there. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Well, that's what they did. They feared the Lord. The fear of the Lord fell upon them, and they honored the king in his request. And so they were obedient to the leading of the Spirit of God. So this is the first mention of the fear of God. Now, we're in the Old Testament. I had you hold your place there in 1 Samuel. Turn now to 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles 19. And we're going to read verses 4 through 9. This is looking at the godly king Jehoshaphat. And notice what he says in verse 4. First, this is 2 Chronicles 19. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to the Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Notice what he does. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, take heed what you do. For you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites, and of the priests, and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord, and for controversies when they return to Jerusalem. Notice what he says to him again. And he charged him, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And so here's Jehoshaphat, and he's trying to turn the nation back to God. And so what he does, he sets judges in all the cities to judge and the law and to judge the people and to do it righteously. And what does he tell them to do? Let the fear of the Lord be your motivation. And so we see again the use of this phrase in the Old Testament, the Chronicles. Now turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, verse 28. And as we start, this is where we'll start to see the definition of the fear of the Lord. I'd asked you earlier, what is the fear of the Lord? And we'll find, as we look through this section in Job, and then as we go into Psalms and Proverbs, there are 11 different characteristics of the fear of the Lord that's given to us in the Old Testament. 11 different characteristics. Job 28, 28. Job's been speaking here. This is his eighth answer. And he says in verse 28, and unto man, he said, talking about the Lord, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And so it's described, the fear of the Lord is described as wisdom. Proverbs 15:33 also defines that. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So the word wisdom means prudence or shrewdness, and the word instruction, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, speaks of correction, chastening, and chastisement. If you look that word up, it's used 50 times. 30 times the word is translated instruction, but the other times it's translated correction, chastening and chastisement. And so the instruction of wisdom involves discipline and the chastening of the Lord. So that's one of the characteristics we see here of the fear of the Lord, is that it is wisdom. Now, turn with me now to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. Psalms 19, very familiar psalm. So including the verse from Job, which we just looked at, I mentioned there are 11 characteristics of the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament. The one here in Job, there are two in Psalms, and eight in Proverbs, and we're going to look at each one. Okay, now, here we are at Psalm 19, verse 9. Look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Well, what does that word clean mean? Well, it's speaking of, from a moral, ethical standpoint, it's speaking of purity. Purity in the life. Purity in the lives of those that know the Lord. The fear of the Lord has a purifying effect on those who have it, and it leads to a pure spiritual life. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, let your manner of life be honorable among the Gentiles. And so we're to live an honorable life before the world, and that involves the fear of the Lord for believers. And notice it says here, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord will last throughout all eternity, as we'll continue to live in reverence and awe of his person, even when we're in heaven. So the fear of the Lord is not just here on this earth, it's in heaven too. It endures forever. So number one, the fear of the Lord is clean. It has a purifying effect. And now look, turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 11. Another characteristic of the fear of the Lord is here in verse 11 of Psalm 34. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now David is writing this psalm, Psalm 34. And he points out that the fear of the Lord is something that can be taught. It's something that can be taught. This is especially true concerning children in the home, as we as parents speak of the Lord and his ways when we sit in our house and when we walk by the way and when we lie down and when we rise up. Also, it's the responsibility of a believer that leads someone to Christ to disciple that new Christian and to teach them the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God. So number two, the next characteristic of the fear of the Lord is that can be taught. Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1, we'll start with verse 7. The fourth characteristic of the fear of the Lord tells us there in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That little verse there in verse 7 sets the theme for the whole book of Proverbs. In other words, if a man wants to be wise, the place to begin is reverencing God and trusting and obeying him. Let me say that again. If a man wants to be wise, the place to begin is in reverencing God and trusting and obeying him. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That little word knowledge is used 93 times in the Old Testament, and it means discernment, understanding, and wisdom. Now, we're using these terms wisdom and knowledge. What's the difference between them? How is knowledge different from wisdom? This word here is used to describe knowledge of a personal, experimental nature. In other words, what we've learned from life and its experiences in our walk with the Lord. What we've learned from life and experiences in our walk with the Lord. Wisdom is the application of these lessons and it's based on the understanding of the Word of God. So wisdom is the application of these lessons we've learned, and it's based on the understanding of the Word of God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, number four. Now, number five, turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13. The next characteristic of wisdom is in verse 13. And there it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward or perverse mouth do I hate. So another characteristic of the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And you'll find, I'm not going to look at all the verses, but several times in Proverbs, it associates the fear of the Lord with the hatred of evil. It's a two-sided coin. You've got the fear of the Lord on one side and the hatred of evil on the other. So it's not only just something that's positive, but it's something that's negative too. Now in this context here in Proverbs chapter 8, it means to hate the very thing, the things that God hates. And he lists them there. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth. In other words, if I hate them, I will judge their appearance in my own life. If I hate them, I'll judge them in my own life. I'll remove also not only a condition to receive wisdom, but because God hates them. And so not only for my own life, but also it pleases the Lord. If we hate what he hates and love what he loves. Remember it said in Job 28, to depart from evil is understanding. So here we see the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now turn across the page to chapter 10 of Proverbs. And let's look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Prolongeth the days. A devout life usually leads to longevity. It's also true concerning them that honor their father and mother. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1-3. If you don't want to turn there, I'll read it to you. There it says, as we're thinking of prolonged days, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, and also those that honor their mother and father. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So, the first commandment with promise is the one given in, you know, the Ten Commandments is given to us in Exodus chapter 20. So, in there it says, honor thy father and mother. And so, we see then there's a connection between the fear of the Lord and length of days, and also to honor your mother and father. So that was characteristic number six. Now, turn over to Proverbs 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14, verse 26. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. This is a beautiful verse. Strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The man who fears the Lord has every reason to have strong confidence. If God is for us, no one can successfully be against us. We see that in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul writes, our children will have a place of refuge under God's wings when evil attacks. In other words, the godly man conveys to his children a reverential awe of the Lord, which provides for them a refuge for their own lives. Let me say that again. In other words, the godly man conveys to his children a reverential trust of the Lord, which provides for them a refuge for their own lives. So the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. It is trust in God that He controls all circumstances and that nothing comes into our life without first going through His loving hands. So remember that. The Lord controls all our circumstances. So the seventh characteristic of the fear of the Lord is that it is strong confidence. Now number eight. Proverbs, you're there in Proverbs 14. Look at the next verse. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Notice it describes the fear of the Lord as a fountain of life. You know, trust in the Lord and the fear of God is a source of spiritual strength and vitality, enabling one to avoid the snares of death. Not only does the fear of the Lord provide a refuge from life's storms that we just looked at in the verse 26, but it's a fountain for life's satisfaction. This fountain of life is in contrast to the snares of death. It makes me think of a verse in the New Testament that our Lord Jesus turned to John chapter 7. Hold your place there in Proverbs, but turn to John chapter 7, and I'll read verse 17 and 18. I hope I've got the right reference. Well, I don't see it. Oh, there it is. It's not 17 and 18, but 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And he's speaking there of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that in verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so that fountain of life makes me think of this verse our Lord said, that out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water for those that thirst and come to him to satisfy their thirst. Okay, now come back to Proverbs, and we'll look at the next characteristic. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 33. Proverbs 15, verse 33. "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So here this is similar to a verse that we looked at earlier where it talked about the word instruction. The fear of the Lord is the discipline that leads to wisdom, and humility is the way to honor. Now we looked at that verse in Psalm 110 earlier that said the beginning of wisdom. And here it says it's the instruction of wisdom. Now you're there in Proverbs 15. We're looking at verse 33. But look at verse 32 right before it. It says, "He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." And then it says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, before honor is humility." So in verse 32, where we see that he who refuses instruction despises his own soul, which is in contrast to the verse 33 that says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Okay, now turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Verse 23, Proverbs 19, verse 23. "The fear of the Lord leads or tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." So the fear of the Lord leads to the abundant life for the believer. Abundant as concerning spiritual things. Remember the Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it abundantly." So the one who has it has every reason to be satisfied. And that's what he says, "And he that has it shall abide satisfied." I want to read you a quote from Bill McDonald's commentary, the Believer's Bible commentary. He says, "The secret of contentment is not having all our wants fulfilled, but having our wants framed by the will of God. The man who fears God has one ultimate goal in life, and that's to please the Lord. As such, he will be satisfied. And he gives a lot of verses here. Turn back to, let's read these verses together. Psalm 17, verse 15a. Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, David writes, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. It seems almost like an understatement, doesn't it? I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. I would think I'll be joyous when I awake in thy likeness also. So David says he'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, come on over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So he says, my soul shall be satisfied. Now, Psalm 103, turn to Psalm 103, verse 5. Psalm 103, verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And you're right there in Psalm 103, turn over to Psalm 107, And look at verse 9. This is a good verse. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Here at Stereo Pages turning, you may have just got there. Let me read that again. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And so the fear of the Lord leads to life. And he that has it shall abide satisfied. Now come back to Proverbs now and go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Proverbs 23, verse 17. There it says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. We see this. I'll just read this to you. This, if you're taking notes, this is from Psalm 73. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. But we see this in the Psalms too, where the psalmist looks at the wicked and looks at their prosperity, and he envies them. You find this in, for example, this is Psalm 73, verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then he says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst send them in slippery places, thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? At a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. So, There is something better than envying the prosperity of the wicked, and that is to live in constant fellowship with the Lord. The occupation with the wicked brings discouragement, but occupation with the Lord brings satisfaction and delight. Now, you're there in Proverbs 23. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Proverbs 23, verse 18. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. There's a future day of reckoning for the wicked, and a bright hope of reward for the righteous, which shall never be disappointed. We can look past death to the resurrection and a glorious future in heaven. So this writer Solomon says, let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So there are 11 different characteristics of the fear of the Lord. Now, it's also mentioned in Isaiah 2. And turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And this section that we're looking at deals with the coming day of the Lord, when God will openly intervene in judgment and then in blessing. And men shall be in such fear that they'll call for the rocks to cover them and the mountains and the hills to cover them. God's terror shall fall upon them. Isaiah 2, beginning with verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord is of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Now look down at verse 19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. Why? For fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one of them himself to worship, to the moulds and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Now this same section is quoted in Revelation. So I want you to hold your place there and turn over with me to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 15 through 17. And the Revelation 6, 15 through 17. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And so here we see the fear of the Lord is used in the context of terror and fear. When men see these things begin, as the world begins to decay, and as nations rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom, and God begins to pour out his bold and sealed judgments on the earth. Now, you're in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 64, verse 1. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Isn't that the believer's desire, that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down? Verse 2. As when the melting fire burns, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. So here we see the fear of the Lord used in Isaiah, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the men of this world are filled with terror. And then lastly, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You know, Acts chapter 9 is the chapter where the Lord appears to Paul. And Paul gets this commission from the Lord. And he immediately, we see his conversion. And he went into the city there at Damascus and was blinded, and Ananias came to him and touched his eyes, and he was healed and he could see. And then it says Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we see Paul is baptized in verses 18 and 19. Then verse 20, and immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt in Damascus, proving that he is the Christ. Well, anyway, they lay a plot to kill him, and they let, as you remember, they let him down in a bucket by the city wall, and he escapes. And then he goes to Jerusalem, and it says in verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed with the Grecians, but they were about to slay him. And so the brethren sent him forth to Caesarea and then down to Tarsus. Now, look at verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Why did the churches have rest? Because Paul got saved. And so the Lord, one of the ways to get rid of your worst enemy is to make them your friend, right? And so Paul got saved. And it says the fear of the Lord. That word fear is the Greek word phobos that we get our word phobia from. And so this word then in verse 31 takes us back. The first word then takes us back to the previous parts of the chapter where we and it says the believers there were walking in the fear of the Lord. Reverence and awe for God motivated them in their daily lives and as a testimony for the Lord. Well, let's close. In summary, we see that the fear of the Lord permeates the scriptures and is a theme worthy of our study and our imitation. Let's close. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We pray, Lord, that we might be as the disciples of Paul's day and walk in the fear of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would continue to seek thy face, that we might be conformed to the image of Christ and glorify thee in our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.